Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Taylor the Communication Doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do.
Hello and welcome to Real Stories. I am your host, Tanya the Communication Doctor, and I am delighted to welcome today Cassandra Farron, who is an author, mentor, and a ghost writer. Welcome, Cassandra.
Hello, Tanya. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's lovely to have you on your show. I'm really excited to talk to you because you're not just an author of one book, you're an author of four books. And today, I would love to focus on the last book that you wrote, which I went to the book launch of, which I thought was absolutely amazing, which was I Lost My Mum.
Cassandra, what inspired you to write I Lost My Mum? And what inspired you to write? Could I dive in deep and hear that story for my audience, please?
As a child, it wasn't until my life had collapsed back in 2012 that I'd had a crisis call with a coach, and I'd poured out my life story to her trying to seek some clarity, and she asked me to go away and start writing down the story of my life so far. And I thought that she was a little bit crazy because I thought, well, how is this gonna help anything? But I did my homework and I started writing, and what I wrote that evening then turned into chapter one of my first book. So it wasn't in my childhood, it was only about 6 years ago that I actually discovered that.
What did that feel like?
At first it didn't feel great, I'll be honest. I sat and I cried my eyes out and I thought, well, how on earth is this going to help anything, because I'm just really sad now. It was very emotional because I hadn't really revisited my past, really. I'd just kind of tucked it under somewhere, and I hadn't looked at it. I was a bit like a swan, I guess. You know, I was trying to just carry on with my life, but underneath there was a bit of a, you know, like a flurry going on underneath the surface. So I wasn't sure how writing about this was going to help. And then it was very emotional going back to that time. But when I continued to write and work through that emotion, I realized just how cathartic it was and how it helped me to process not only what had happened, but also a lot of the emotion that I hadn't dealt with. So it was really, really therapeutic. And I felt a big change within myself that I had started to move on from the past.
That's amazing. So you've found writing as healing. And after you wrote your first book, what was that like? And what did you do with that? And what's the first book called?
So my first book is called The Girl Who Refused to Quit.
Beautiful.
And it's the true story of my life of overcoming adversity and how I refused to quit despite many obstacles. And I was very, very proud to publish that first book. As I said, it was never something that I had dreamed of, but once I had started writing, I couldn't stop. So I just held on to that vision and I kept going and was really proud to publish that book. But unfortunately, just 1 year after publishing that book, my life collapsed for the third time. So that was quite a challenge, to say the least. It was completely unexpected and caused a lot of sort of challenges in my life. But it was at that point that I realized I needed to write a second book, because I went to see a counselor and sought the counselor's advice as to whether they thought I was having a breakdown or whether I was coping quite well, because my friends and family were concerned that I was coping too well with the situation and that I was just putting on a brave face. So I went to see a counsellor because I was quite confused. I didn't really know. I thought I was coping quite well. And the counsellor said to me, what have you done? Because this should have taken you up to 2 years to cope, to deal with, and to reach a point of acceptance, but you've actually done this in a space of 6 weeks yourself. What have you done? And it made me realize at that point just how powerful writing my first book was, because I had processed all of my past up until that point. But also I thought, well, everything that I have been doing in my own mind, my coping mechanisms, if you like, I need to share this. So that's what inspired my second book, which is called Rule Your World, which is about how to take the control back in your mind, and ultimately how to take the control back in your life and reduce your stress levels.
Okay, Cassandra, I just want to go back, because I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it, but it's just for my audience and for me to get a bit more of an understanding, because you have clearly gone through the process of writing being a real healing process for you, but you did say that your life collapsed. Can you talk a little bit more openly about that? What happened?
Yeah, so I became a single parent for the third time, so for the first time my eldest son was 6 months old. I became a single parent when he was just 6 months old, and then 6 years later I had became like engaged and married and had my second son, when I'd been married for almost 6 years. That ended, and then when I set my business up in 2013, I had started a new relationship, and we were together for 3 years. We were living together, but very unexpectedly in 2016, literally that relationship broke down like very quickly, very suddenly, very unexpectedly, and I became a single parent for the third time.
Oh, wow. Wow, that is a challenging experience within itself. It's when you go from that moment of being with somebody and then having to have that responsibility, I can totally understand why you said now your life collapsed, because that is a lot to deal with. And knowing you, or knowing what I know of you, I feel you come across as a very strong woman and you've been coping really well. But I suppose behind the face, there's always something going on with us as human beings, because we are human. I want to fast forward now to the book, I Lost Your Mum. I don't want to come off that subject. Tell me a little bit about that book.
So my mum was diagnosed with dementia 5 years ago. She had always been a very vibrant woman, full of energy, young at heart, always wanted to have fun in everything that she did. My mum was a teacher for many years. She was very well respected, but she deeply cared about everyone that she taught and wanted to make a difference with her work. So when she retired, she started to become a bit more forgetful, started to repeat herself a bit more, and she tried to convince us that she had just relaxed her mind and relaxed her brain, and because she wasn't working full time, that she was just getting a little bit older.
Yes.
But we suspected that there was more to it than that. And unfortunately, she wouldn't go to the doctors initially, because I guess the dementia had already kicked in, so she didn't think that there was anything wrong with her. Does that make sense? So she, in her yes. mind, there was nothing wrong with her. So to ask someone to go to the doctors for memory problems when you don't believe that you have a memory problem, was a challenge. So, and you can't just drag a grown woman to the doctors. So she was very, very reluctant to go to the doctors. Mm. But eventually we convinced her to go, and she went, and it was 5 years ago that we got a diagnosis of dementia. And we literally received that in a letter. That was it, just a letter. Mm. And at the time, I didn't understand how serious it was. So I remember my mum phoned me and she was crying and she was really upset. And she said to me, "I don't understand. What have I done? What have I done to deserve this? I'm absolutely devastated." And I remember saying to her, "Mum, it's all right." I said, "You know, as you get older, unfortunately, either our bodies start to wear away or our mind starts to wear away. You know, this is kind of what happens. And, you know, we're still here for you. You know, we'll be there for you. And you can still do all the things that you love and, you know, see all your friends." And I was trying to kind of convince her it was okay, because I didn't realise how serious it was.
Yes.
And it wasn't until about a week later, I just searched on the internet for dementia support, and I found a forum, and it said to me, do you want to find out about the early stages of dementia, the middle stages of dementia, or the end of life stages of dementia? Mm. And that was how I found out that my mum had a terminal condition for which there was no cure.
You know what, that's so powerful. Well, I really resonate with your story. Number one, I think a lot of my listeners do know my mum suffered from dementia for the last 10 years of her life. And I suppose I could totally resonate with the beginning, middle and the end, because she passed away as well. But it's you know, I as a daughter, and as you as a daughter, it is a journey which I suppose as you look back, is almost like slowly you're releasing stuff, and slowly you're having to come to terms with the fact that your mum is changing. And also for her, it will come to a point that she doesn't actually realise she is changing. But it's great at that moment that there was that whole realisation, and she had that resistance, but she didn't want to go to the doctors, and then eventually you did. So you're now aware, so she can get the best support that she can get. But from the perspective of as a daughter having to see that, how would you explain that, you know, as her daughter having to watch that process for the last 5 years?
It's heartbreaking, and I don't think there are words to describe it. I mean, I'm quite good with words, having written 4 books, but I don't think you could say heartbreaking, you could say harrowing, you could, you know, there's words that you can say, but actually it's hard to describe, because I don't think that even sums up how hard and how heartbreaking it is. And every part of the journey has been challenging. Like in the early stages, it was challenging because again, she never knew that anything was wrong with her, but we would you know, go out for dinner and have to kind of watch her like a child if she wanted to, like, visit the ladies' toilets. Yes. Because she would come out and she wouldn't be able to see us. But yes. I couldn't stand next to her and follow her, because then she would say to me, I don't need babysitting, what are you following me for, there's nothing wrong with me. But she was, we had to safeguard her, you know, we had to look after her without her knowing that she needed looking after. And at first it was just gradually things slightly getting wrong, or she would be more anxious, she would be sort of snappy, her personality changed. I realized that I couldn't have a conversation with my mum about, like, I have 2 children, I couldn't speak to her about anything, about sharing, you know, the happy times or sharing challenging times. I couldn't speak to her anymore. It was, our communication had to be very, very simple, and she would just repeat the same stories over and over and over again, which required a lot of patience, and I adapted to that. But at the same time, it was hard, because if I had something exciting that I wanted to share, I couldn't just pick up the phone to my mum and tell her. Yes. Or if I had something that I wanted to seek her advice on, I couldn't just pick up the phone. So that was challenging. And then as time went on, one of the hardest times was when she went missing. I received a phone call from my dad at 7 a.m. to say, don't panic, but your mum's gone missing and I've called the police. And she kind of just changed overnight. Like, the day before, if you'd have met her, you wouldn't have said, this woman is at high risk of going missing.
Yes.
It was like literally overnight. She walked out the back gate, unlocked the padlock, and walked out in her pajamas and her socks. And it's like, you hear these things happening on the news, but you never ever think it's going to happen to you.
Oh, you know what? I can totally identify everything you've just said. And as I'm listening to you, I almost find it quite comforting to know that, you know, it's not just me that's gone through this, because sometimes you can feel very alone, and obviously everybody's experience is unique, and, you know, the experience of your mum and how you feel and how you deal with situations obviously is very unique and stuff. But I experienced the same with my mum going missing, just going for a walk, and that whole scary moment, and sometimes they might not even put their shoes on, all that sort of thing. And just the whole process of having to watch them slowly deteriorate, and the not being able to speak to them when there's really important things. I mean, it is really hard. It is a real transition. That's why I asked you from the perspective of her daughter, how you felt or how you kind of cope with that mechanism. But I want to ask you that question anyway, just to hear from my listeners and from my audience. What is your coping mechanism for dealing with this?
I've had to dig really deep, and like I mentioned earlier, I've written a book on how to cope. But even with implementing every single one of the tools that I recommend to my clients and the tools that I know that work, for instance, meditation, for instance, taking time off social media, going for a walk, eliminating stress out of your life, taking time to read, taking time to self-care, having a bath. You know, we all know those things that we can do.
Yes.
But even with every single one of those tools in place, I've still broken down time after time after time. So the complete honest answer is that there's been a lot of times when I haven't coped and I felt incredibly alone because I haven't wanted to burden my dad because he hasn't coped very well at times either. I have a sister, but she lives in New Zealand, so I'm not able to like offload to her as often as I, you know, perhaps would have liked to.
Yes.
I've had a lot of friends become quite distant, if I'm completely honest with you, and I don't, that might be due to this, it might be due to other things, but I don't have many close friends. Friends that I do have might say, how's your mum? And then I'll tell them, and then they will actually get upset and get tears in their eyes, and I think, oh, well, that was just the beginning, I better not tell you what happened after that.
Yeah.
So I've had to cope a lot on my own, and also I'm trying to hold it together for my children because they've lost their nan, and my mum was a very hands-on nana. Like, she looked after Kieran, my eldest son. She was pretty much his second mother because I went back to work full-time after I split up with his dad so we could keep our house. So my mum has always been a really, really hands-on nan, so I've had to sort of try to hold it together for my children as well. So in answer to your question, sometimes I haven't coped, sometimes I haven't held it together, but what I've had to become is a little bit selfish and just kind of implement self-preservation, if that makes sense. So
yeah, it makes a lot of sense, and I don't call it selfish at all. It's you have to kind of look after yourself first, really, and learn to how manage your emotions. But you know what's really interesting, I asked that word, how did you cope, but I just asked it for the perspective from the podcast. But I totally agree with you, because you don't necessarily cope, you find ways to help you deal with different situations. But ultimately we are human beings, and there is times that we need to cry, that you need to release that emotion, because sometimes, you know, we're so taught in this Western world that we have to always show up, and we can't sometimes show the other side of ourselves. But, you know, these emotions need to be released, and I think that is part of the process and the experience. And it's okay to go through that process. It's okay to release all of those different emotions. And then you obviously have to return back to whatever structure you have in your life. And I think that's what I probably more meant about the coping, was because, you know, different people have structures in their lives, and sometimes having children, I know for myself, it's it could be the best structure ever, because every day they've got to go to school, every day they've got you've got to kind of keep up as a mum to do certain things, and in some ways it can be a blessing in these situations, because it grounds you in lots of different ways and with regards to dealing with the whole situation. But you're so right as to say that you have to focus on yourself, because I do believe we have to put ourselves first in these situations. I don't think it's selfish at all. Or maybe that word selfish needs to be explored.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And I think as well, as a business owner, I'm not able to, you know, if I was employed, that there might have been an option where I've had like really low points to go to the doctors and seek advice, and possibly, you know, at times I think I would have been signed off, you know, because I was very low and, you know, not coping. But as a business owner, that isn't it's not really an option. You know, yes, I need to keep my business going because I'm a single parent. No one else is going to turn up at my door, you know, with the money for my bills each month. So I keep going because I have to keep going. But at the same time, I love what I do. So that helps me to keep going. So that's how I cope.
No, it's brilliant. I totally understand, Cassandra. That's absolutely amazing. And what words of wisdom could you give to my audience after you've gone through so much and we've just spoken about your experience with your mum and the book, I Lost My Mum. But what would you like to take away from this podcast? What positives can you give me at the end of this? What advice would you give to anybody out there that's listening? They may be going through the same thing that you may be going through.
Yeah, and I wanted to write my book because I wanted to share the reality of what it's like to love somebody that you've lost to dementia. And what I've learned is that it's okay not to be okay.
Yes.
And it's okay to reach out for support. We didn't receive any support, which is why I wanted to write the book, to share my experience, to reach out to others. But what I would say is to be as open as you can about your feelings and your emotions to a safe person who can listen. And I can't tell them who that would be. I've actually made friends in the last month with a lady who's going through something similar with her mum. We meet up once a month and we just have a drink, have a chat, and we're just really honest about how we're feeling and what we're going through. And even though we both know that we can't change our situation, we can't, you know, magic our mums back to the way that they were, we've both said how much it's helped us just to acknowledge and to honour our feelings and to have someone that we can speak to. So I would try and find a buddy. There's several online forums, whether you're to do a search, you know, online to, you know, to search for dementia support, dementia help. I think it does help to know that you're not alone in this. And self-preservation, you know, look after your mind, look after your body, because you will cope so much better if you are looking after yourself.
I think that's a lovely way to end the show, and such great advice, you know, for all my listeners out there. And if they are going through a similar thing, to speak to somebody. And also to, you know, it's so great to there. We just Google dementia and support these days. You know, that's the positive about having the internet and being able to find these platforms and charities, and everything's at hand in terms of doing it. But all we have to do is just reach out and ask. I think that's a really good way to end the show, and really great advice. Thank you so much, Cassandra, for coming on my show today. And I just want to say, from Tanya the Communication Doctor, and Cassandra Farren, adios. Takeaway from this show today is get some support and don't be afraid to reach out to charities. If your mother is suffering from dementia, or your mother or father, there is so much support out there. And it's just great to talk it through, because I feel the more that you talk and you speak to other people, it helps you then to understand what's happening with you. And just don't be afraid to get that support and reach out and talk. That's my takeaway from today's show. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. And to listen to more real stories, don't forget to subscribe.